The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead at two Boxing Days racing on this edition of the podcast. Plenty to look forward to, of course. There's 10 meetings domestically. There are also three meetings over in Ireland, so plenty of racing and a few Christmas crackers to look forward to at Kempton as well. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined on the line to look ahead to the action by Mr. Stephen Powell. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. Full of the joys of the festive season.
Yes, very much so. Really looking forward to the racing now over the Christmas period. I think, I don't know why, but I've always had this sort of thing for the King George, and looking at the runners for this year, so I don't think we're going to be disappointed again.
No, it's a great renewal, and I don't think anybody can blame you for having a bit of a thing for the King George, because year in, year out, it's just a highlight of Christmas.
It is a highlight of Christmas. I mean, there's been a lot of Powell family get-togethers on Boxing Day, which have been stopped abruptly at about 3 o'clock, so you can tune into the King George. And I remember one year being in Barcelona and trying to find a bar that was showing it on Boxing Day, which you managed to do, which was good as well. So an Edward on Blur one, which was 10 years ago now. So yeah, lots of good memories with the King George.
Yes, that's commitment to the cause. That in Barcelona, still trying to find the King George.
Yeah.
The thing I like about the King George, I don't know if it probably is. It's not the same as any other race, because you get the same horses turning up at the top of the game year in, year out, and that tends to lead to horses following up. So if you've got an affinity to a horse, you tend to see it follow up if it's a good horse, or win it again. So it's one of those things where you can keep coming back to it and keep seeing the horses that you like win.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like the sort of the Gold Cup where you'll get a sort of a horse who wins. And the problem with the Gold Cup, because of the sort of unique test that it is, not always the best horse wins the Gold Cup. But with the King George, you tend to find that the best horse does, because it is a sort of a good, decent 3 mile test around Kempton, particularly since it was redeveloped. It's not as sort of tight and nippy as it was. And there was a lot of Gold Cup winners who won the King George and got onto it. As I say, you tend to find that the best horse wins. And I think that's why horses like Cordo Star won it 5 times, Desert Orchid won it 4 times, Wayward Lad won it 3 times, yet Wayward Lad never won a Gold Cup, and Desert Orchid only just scraped home in one when he was favourite 3 years in a row for it. So they were the best horses, they won it, and let's hope. Well, as things stand, I don't actually think the best horse at the moment will win this year, but we'll see.
Yes, nice contradiction there.
Yeah, exactly. He might turn out to be the best horse in time, but as we go into the race, he's probably not the best as we look at it.
Right.
Put it that way.
Okay. It's a great card. Alongside that, we also have the Christmas Hurdle, which is another Grade One. Mm. We have the Corto Star and Officer's Chase, which was the Feltham, which is another Grade One. Then there's some interesting novices hurdles and novices chasers, and yeah, great card to look forward to, isn't it? Apart from obviously the King George is the highlight, but great racing alongside it as well.
Yeah, overall a very good mix. I mean, the novice hurdle, which opens the card, Mark, at 12:50, is always a really strong affair, and it looks as though it'll be the same again. There's two or three very nice horses in there. We've got a nice novice handicap chase, a good handicap hurdle at the end, and obviously, you know, overall over the 2 days. With them racing on Friday as well, there was a little bit for everyone, isn't it? It really is. I mean, obviously the word festival is bandied about quite a lot now, but there is, over 2 days at Kempton, a bit for everyone. Two or three very good races, like standout races, and obviously then the King George is sort of like the icing on the cake, isn't it?
Mm. Right, shall we look at the racing then?
Let's dive into it.
Yes, we're going to look at the three big races on the card, the three Grade Ones. So we'll start in the 2 o'clock, which is the Corto Star Novices Chase in memory of Nigel Clark. It was the Feltham Novices Chase, Grade One over 3 miles, 5 of them in the lineup, and just a par is likely to be the one to beat here. One at Newbury in the RSA Worcester Novices Chase, that was a Grade Two last time, beat Third Intention by 14 lengths on that occasion. Do you see any reason why that form would be reversed?
No, not at all, to be honest, Mark. I mean, although there are five runners, I do think it's definitely a three-horse race and more likely a two-horse race, to be honest. I do, obviously, the top two, I think, are going to struggle on the form that we've seen from those so far. Anna Cotti's two runs this season, earlier on, his most two recent runs, have been okay without being spectacular. And overall, his chasing form, which he's had six runs over fences now, is not that good, to be honest. Even his win over course and distance, it's decent enough sort of for an early season novice, but not good enough for this level. And the same can be said for Buckle Alan as well. He was beaten 96 lengths ago, just 12 days ago at Lingfield, so I think it's easy to rule a line through them. Green Flag's interesting because he's won his last two races, both of which were novice handicaps, and the most recent of which was off a mark of 138, which isn't bad really, but both of his last two races he was left clear. But I do think he's the sort of horse who will sort of improve in better races. He's lumped top weight to victory on his last two runs as well, and he's a likeable animal, and I think that he's more likely to give Just a Par a race than Third Intention, who, as you rightly say, was 14 lengths behind Just a Par last time out, and Third Intention actually ran in this race 12 months ago as well, and he was absolutely sort of annihilated by Dynast, and conditions obviously were very soft, but every time he's gone over 3 miles he's been well beaten. Dynast beat him again at Aintree, and although he's good and solid, and we know how good the form is when he's involved, again I think that the combination of what is likely to be quite soft ground come Boxing Day with lots of rain forecast, he's going to be sort of struggling to keep up with the front two, who are strong stayers, still got potential, and I think Just a Par will win. I was very taken by his improvement that he showed at Newbury more than anything, because he was slightly disappointed when sent off odds on at Chepstow on his chase debut, but he was at the time when the Nichols horses were running all right but not spectacular, and he said before a lot of horses will come on for the run, and he very much did with that good win at Newbury. He's got form on heavy ground and soft ground, so that's not going to be a problem, and Paul Nichols has obviously won the race three times before, so I think Just a Par will win, and I think Green Flag will probably be the one to chase him home. He's more of a dour sort of horse, and I think he'll just keep plugging on gamely till the end in second.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I think Just a Par will win. He's likely to be odds on, though. That's the only thing. He's going to be short enough. So when we price up the betting without markets, I'd just have a look at Green Flag in the betting without Just a Par, because I've got a feeling that Third Intention might be above him in the betting, but I think Green Flag could run okay. So that might be the way to play it. But
very much agree. And Lucinda Russell's horse is in good form as well. They had another three winners at Newcastle on Saturday, and they're continuing to run well. So obviously sort of a bigger test, much bigger test for him. But as I say, I think conditions will be fine for him. He just hasn't got the class that Just a Par has.
OK. But if I were to ask you for a winner, then Just a Par will come on in front for you?
Yeah, without doubt.
OK. Without doubt, that's a confidence election right
well,
there.
Unless he falls. So, which obviously he won't.
No. Right, moving on then to the 2:35. This is one of the highlights of the day. It's the WilliamHill.com Christmas Hurdle. It's a grade one over 2 miles. And, it's very hard to say it's not a match between the new one and My Tent or Yours. The new one, obviously, bags of potential. He's won 9 of his 11 starts, won both of his starts this year, including over this course and distance on reappearance, the international hurdle at Cheltenham last time. Did it in workmanlike fashion, I suppose, in the end. My Tent or Yours, again, another horse with undoubted potential, and Nicky Henderson, AP McCoy and JP McManus have a great record in this race. They've won it the last 3 years, twice with Binocular in 2010 and 2011, and with Darlan last year as well. So can you see beyond those two?
No, not really. I mean, two of the other three horses are decent animals. I mean, Chapel House is 500-1, so, I mean, I'm not going to say anything else about him. But Duke of Navan and Samatigal are decent horses in their own right. And I'm half surprised that they're running Duke of Navan in this race, to be honest, because he was well beaten by My Tent or Yours at Newcastle. And he's only rated 145, and you'd have thought that he might be able to run in a decent handicap off that sort of mark, to be truthful. But he's a nice horse. Grometti's a decent animal as well, third behind My Tent or Yours as well at Newcastle, but obviously both of those are really going to have to fight to turn that form around. And Samatigal ran well in the Greatwood, but again, still not quite at this level, and it leaves you with the top two. Now, on the runs that we've seen this season, I mean, the new one's form is better, without doubt. Again, without doubt, he's better, Mark, with his win at Cheltenham just 12 days ago when he beat Zarkandar, who, again, is another good, solid, grade one performer, and we know how sort of good that form is, and obviously beat Rock on Ruby over course and distance quite comfortably as well. Whereas My Tent or Yours, he didn't do anything particularly wrong at Newcastle, but sort of the beating of a four-year-old filly who was £25 inferior to him leaves him with improvement to make, which I'm sure he will, but combined with that and also the fact that, again, the soft ground, the only time Mighty No Heels has been beaten was on very soft ground in a novice hurdle at Newbury last year. And so I just think that with the ground sort of going against My Tent or Yours, it just leads me more towards the new one, because although the new one's biggest asset is this real good turn of foot that he's got, he has got stamina as well, and if it turns into a bit of a slog, he's won on soft ground over 2.5 miles. I mean, he was only just touched off on heavy ground by At Fisher's Cross, who's a dower stare, as we know, at Cheltenham earlier on the year. I'd fancy him to come out on top, and to be honest, in any race, if My Tent or Yours gets into a battle, I'd probably fancy the other horse to come out on top, whoever it was. And at this stage of the season, I fancy the new one for the champion hurdle anyway, and I think that he'll beat My Tent or Yours at Kempton for the factors I've just said. The combination of the ground's the biggest one, really, you know, combined with the new one's sort of superior stamina.
Okay, so the ground in favour of the new one. If it does turn into a bit of a slog in a battle, then yeah, I could see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's more in favour of the new one, but I think he'll handle it better than My Tent or Yours.
That's
I think
a better way of putting it.
Yeah, he suits My Tent or Yours less than it will the new one, sort of thing. So, but yeah, again, a two-horse race for me. I do think the new one will win.
Okay, the new one then for Stephen in the 2:35. On to the big race of the day then. Next, this is the 3:10 at Kempton. It's the William Hill King George the Sixth Chase. It's a Grade One over 3 miles, and the betting on site has Q Card and Dynast, the 3-1 joint favourites at the time of recording this. Alpha Off 7-2, Sylvini Arco Conti 9-2, Long Run is 9-1, Mount Bell Bull. I always get this wrong. Mount Ben Bulben is the 14-1 shot there, and 20-1 barring those runners. The money of late then seems to be coming for Dynast rather than Q Card. I mean, there's been a few stories surrounding the Tizard Yard saying that they're not really firing and they've had a problem with a virus in the yard, and they haven't had many runners out of late. Would that worry you if you were a Q Card fan?
It's obviously of slight concern, yes, I think it has to be, but the Tizards are sort of bullish in the fact that he's not affected, that he's fine, but I suppose you can never really tell these things until it comes to the course, and I think, I'm sure if he gets beat Q Card, then that'll be the sort of what everyone thinks is the reason why, including possibly the Tizards, although they're confident at this stage that he's not affected by it, but as I say, you can't tell really until the day. And I do think that there's a strong case for Dynast reversing the form from Haydock, although obviously Q Card beat him quite comfortably that day. Obviously Q Card A had already had a run on that occasion. And he was disappointing in this race last year, Q Card. He made one bad mistake, which really stopped him. I mean, no conditions were atrocious, and it wouldn't have suited him. They're not going to be as attritional, I don't think, on Boxing Day. But I just think that Dynast, having won the Feltham, or the Corto Star as it is now, last year on heavy ground, and ran so well, proving that he could mix it with the big boys in the Betfair Chase behind Q Card when Q Card had the benefit of race fitness, it wouldn't surprise me for Dynast to improve past him, given the combination of, as I say, the ground, the fact that he's won there already, and that he's going to come on for his first run where Q Card had already benefited from that at Haydock, to be truthful. But I don't think either of them will win. So,
okay. One thing I want to ask you as well about Q Card.
Yeah.
His win in the Betfair Chase, people seem to have just presumed now that he stays. Is there still a question mark whether he will stay? I mean, there's also I think it's a bit of a myth that the 3 miles around Kempton on King George today is going to be an easy 3 miles, so if you're going to get it, you're going to get it at Kempton, basically. But
yeah.
If you look at the past winners of the race, they are proper stayers, and
I think it's
just a rumour or a trait that people think, but actually I think if you're going to stay stronger than the rest, you've got a massively a better chance in the King George. Are you convinced Q Card stays?
I wouldn't say convinced, but I'd be surprised if that's the reason that he sort of gets beat. But in terms of, I think he stays okay, but he may well be outstayed by a stronger stayer if that if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think if he's going to win, I think he will. He won't get beaten because he doesn't stay. I think he's more likely to get beaten probably because of the ground or one of the other horses that finishes in front of him is a stronger stayer than he is sort of per se. And I do think that Dynast falls into that category a little bit. But in fairness, I mean, the going at Haydock was listed as soft. Mm-hmm. There's no real obvious sort of... Champion Court tends to go forward, doesn't he? But there's no real sort of obvious early pace. And because Champion Court has definitely got sort of question marks over his stamina, they might decide to hold him up. Because obviously he travelled really well till sort of three out last year and then hit the wall.
Yeah.
So I think if they think, well, we'll hold him up this year, it might give Q Card that easy lead, which he gets into that rhythm and he bowls along in front. And I do think that's key to his races as well, because, you know, his best performances have been when he's done that. But I don't think he's the strongest stayer, but I do think he stays, but you know, to sort of shorten it into a little snappy phrase.
Okay, let's move on to the Paul Nicholls pair then, because he's got a very good record in the race. Alpha Roth is 7-2, Sylvaniaco Conti 9-2, and we've mentioned the ground on a number of occasions. It's soft at the moment. Any more rain will be in favour of Sylvaniaco Conti as well, in Paul Nicholls' ideas.
Yeah, in his words, he think it will. Obviously, he beat Long Run when he was soft at Haydock last year, and I mean, he was pretty soft come the Gold Cup, to be fair, this year as well, and he was still travelling well coming down the hill. I think Sylvaniaco Conti ran a race which is probably verging on as good as he is in the Haydock. I think that he's a very good horse. He's a very high class horse. He's a true Grade One chaser, because we've proved that already. But I think that he's probably come the end of the season, we'll see him that he's probably third or fourth in a sort of chasing pecking order, where he'll run in these races. He might win the odd one, you know, if the others sort of have not excuses but may not be at the top of their game, and he is, and you know, obviously factors are different every time, but I don't think he's the best horse in the race, Sylvaniaco Conti, and I think that he probably will finish about third. He'll run a really good race. He might finish second, but I just can't quite see him beating such a strong field.
Okay, are you going for him to finish second to his stablemate then? Do you like Alpha Roth?
I do like Alpha Roth, yeah. I mean, this is the thing, sort of having to just put the knife into Q Card about whether he's the strongest stayer and all this sort of stuff. Obviously, it's Alpha Roth's first run over 3 miles,
yeah.
And so we don't truly know if he will stay, but he's always shaped as though he's a stayer, even when he won the Supreme over 2 miles and he beat Sprinter Sacra at Q Card in what was obviously a fantastic renewal of that race. He won it because he outstayed them. He didn't win it because he was the quickest horse that day coming up the hill at Cheltenham. I mean, the fact that he won the Paddy Power Gold Cup just over a year ago off a mark of 159, which is a fairly high rating. I mean, to be winning a handicap, you know, it is putting you on the verge of top class. I thought he was very impressive on his return at Ascot. I know it was only a two-horse race, but he bowled along with plenty of zest. He jumped very exuberantly, running like a horse that had been off for a year and was a bit sort of fresh and a bit gassy. That would have got all of that out of him. And I do think that he still has some sort of untapped potential, to be honest. I think that because he's missed a whole season, he might be eight coming into the race, and obviously older than Sylvaniaco, Dynast and Q Card, but he hasn't had as much racing as those. Obviously with Paul Nicholls, he's good record in the race, and I do think that, I've sort of taught myself into Alpha Roth. I think that he might just have... we don't know how good he is. Well, I think we know with the others sort of roughly how good they're going to be or how good they are. We don't know how good he is, and I think that given this opportunity to prove it... I mean, they were talking about the King George from last year, obviously, until he got injured. And I was impressed with him at Ascot, and I think that he might be the one that comes home in front. Again, he shapes me as a stayer, and I think we could... You know, if you've got sort of four in a line coming to three out, I think by the time they get to the last, there'll probably only be the two of them there, which will be Dynast and Alpha Roth for me, being chased by Sylvaniaco and Q Card. So, I've always liked Alpha Roth, and I'm not going to desert him on his biggest challenge.
Okay. One more we must talk about is last year's winner, the only other horse in single figures. Long Run is 9-1. The money has come for Long Run this week as well, interestingly. He wears the visor for the first time at Kempton on Boxing Day. His form this year has been disappointing, but it was a better effort last time. And Nicky Henderson has talked up his chances, saying that he's doing okay at home. So if he were to get anywhere near back to his level, I mean, we talk about stays, he will stay. We know that for a fact.
Yeah.
And the question is just whether he's regressing now, isn't it?
It is a question of whether he's regressive or not, or whether he's just sort of not started the season so well, and he'll sort of get better as things go on. Obviously, he's got a very good record at Kempton, in fairness to him, having won two King Georges. He won the Cordo Star in Novices Chase, and the only time he's been beat at Kempton was when he was beaten by Cordo Star. He's obviously won the race five times. So it's a very good record, and I think I've never been sort of Long Run's biggest fan, but I appreciate that he is a very good animal, and I think anyone will be completely balmy to say he cannot win, but I would be sort of mildly surprised if he turned. I think obviously sort of as the way the betting suggests, I think the other four are all more likely to win than he is. But if he did win, because I mean they've not all got question marks, but for example, if Q Card, maybe the virus has affected him so he doesn't run up to his best form, maybe Alfaroff doesn't stay, and maybe Sylvaniarco is as I said just a sort of third or fourth best chaser that we have, then maybe Long Run can pick it up. But I would be surprised if he did, but I think that he will run a good race, because you can't sort of just override that good Kempton record that he's got, with the ground going to be soft, which is not a problem for him. If the visor sort of livens him up a little bit, I mean, I'm not sure if they're maybe just thinking, well, we'll try and mix things up a bit, because obviously he's wore cheek pieces and a noseband for quite a while now, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be surprised. And then we sort of come down. Mate, Ben Bulban's interesting. He's on 14-1 on the Irish Raider. He was very impressive at Punchestown on soft ground back in April. But he has got a fair bit to find with these others. But he's a nice horse, and I think he deserves to have his place in the lineup. Menorah's got a big, big task, I think, first time up. To be truthful, Champion Court I don't think will stay, and he's not good enough overall. And I'm surprised Riverside Theatre was 25-1, because he ran well in this race 2 years ago, but was well beaten on heavy ground last year, and he's only 14 days after his run at Huntingdon, and his form when he was beaten by Long Run, beaten by Q Card, beaten by Serre de Chant, was just not the same form he was showing the season before. So again, has got something to prove, but it isn't definitely a true Grade 1 lineup. The fact that Riverside Theatre, who's a multiple Grade 1 winner, is a 25-1 outsider, shows you what a wonderful race it is.
It is. It's a brilliant renewal of the King George. And just to summarise this race, then you're going to go with Alfaroff.
I am going to go with Alfaroff, yeah. I think this is obviously going to be his biggest task to date, but he's always shaped like a stair. Paul Nicholls has always sort of been saying since he was sort of 4 and 5, long term he's going to be a 3 mile chaser. He'll have no problems with the ground. I was really impressed with him at Ascot, and I think he could sort of just surprise the top three, but it's a great race, Mark. So I hope he wins. For my sort of selfish sake, but whoever wins will be a deserving winner without any doubt at all.
Yes, great race to look forward to. Great day to look forward to at Kempton, in fact, as well. So let's just spin through your selections one more time, Stephen, if you just want to give us your, should we call it a Boxing Day treble?
If you want a Boxing Day treble, yeah. I mean, the first two aren't very original, to be honest. I think Just a Par will win the Cordo Star and obviously Chase. I think that the new one will beat My Tent or Yours in the Christmas hurdle. And I think that Alfaroff may well take the King George in a fantastic race. So here's hoping, Mark. It could well be. When I'm back at William Hill Towers on the 27th, I could either be in a very good mood or a foul mood. Let's hope it's the former, not the last one.
Yeah. Great, full of the joys of Christmas or humbug.
Yeah exactly.
Right, thank you very much, Stephen. Thanks for taking the time out to speak to us. I know you're not in work today, but it's good racing to talk about, I suppose.
It is, exactly. Yes. Any excuse to talk about good racing, Mark, whether I'm working or not, is one that's normally taken.
Well, thank you very much anyway, and enjoy your Christmas.
Yes, thank you, Mark, and you, and I hope all the listeners do as well.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.